This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
That will burn you. يرسل عليكم أشواظ من نار ونحاس فلا تنتصران. Oh, this will be. We'll come to this, inshallah, inshallah. So this talks about the Day of Judgment. Something we mentioned something last week, and it's good to mention it again. Those who are obsessed with the scientific miracles of the Quran, and we said in principle there is room for that. But those who go overboard with this, and they're obsessed to the point of curbing the meanings of the verses and the context of the verses just to meet what seems to be to them a scientific fact, that might sometimes, a few decades later, actually be changed or be proven to be incorrect, right? So they would say, some people read these verses, they said, yeah, but they made it to the moon, so they broke through the borders of the earth, right? And the skies and whatever, and the atmosphere. So, and that's because of the focus on what? Focus on the scientific miracles of the Quran. This verse talks about the Day of Judgment. Talks about the Day of Judgment. Okay? And I'm not going to get into whether these, how true these things are. Scientific claims, we don't know. We've been told such, right? Allahu a'lam. Allah, they could be right, they could be wrong. They could be right, they could be wrong. Allah knows. And there is really, for us, no. What's the point? I mean, even if you explore the other galaxies and you arrive at other planets, what difference does it make? Honestly, what difference does it make? Ultimately, in life, what difference is it going to make? And you're going to end up, again, dying. You're going to end up being resurrected on the Day of Judgment. You'll be held accountable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if you made it to Mars, you're not going to enter Jannah. And by the way, and this is something the Ruqa know very well, that jinn travel through the planets already. Some of them live in other planets. And again, this is what Ruqa say, that they've come across jinn like that, that says like this, Allahu alam. But they say that jinn even lives in different galaxies. So that means, and in the Arabic language, as-sama is not exactly like the sky. As-sama min as-sumu. Sama is whatever is above you, it's called sama. Whatever is above you, it's called sama in the Arabic language. What are the limits of as-sama al-dunya? Or the seven heavens? We don't know exactly. Allah didn't tell us the details. We are just told that there are seven heavens and there are seven earths. Allah didn't tell us the details. And those, again, who are still obsessed with sciences and interpreting everything scientifically, they would tell you, oh, these are seven dimensions according to quantum mechanics. There are seven realities, parallel realities. Why do you need to go into all of this? Khalas, Allah told us, if we needed that knowledge, Allah would have told us. Allah told us what we need and that's it. Khalas. Okay, قال ثم ذكر ما أعد لهم في ذلك الموقف العظيم فقال يرسل عليكم أشواظ من نار ونحاس فلا تنتصران فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان أي يرسل عليكما لهب صاف من النار ونحاس وهو اللهب الذي قد خلطه الدخان والمعنى أن هذين الأمرين الفظيعين يرسلان عليكما يا معشر الجن والإنس ويحيطان بكما فلا تنتصران لا بناصر من أنفسكم ولا بأحد ينصركم من دون الله ولما كان تخويفه لعباده نعمة منه عليهم وسوطا يسوقهم به إلى أعلى المطالب وأشرف المواهب امتن عليهم فقال فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان.
Then Allah mentions what He has prepared in that great place of standing. There will be sent against you flames of fire and smoke, and you will not be able to protect yourselves. Then which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? That is, He will send against you pure flames of fire and smoke. What is meant is that these two frightening things will be sent against you, O jinn and humans. And they will encompass you. Then you will not be able to protect yourselves, and no one will protect you against Allah. Because His alarming His slaves is a blessing to them and a motive that should push them towards the sublime, the most sublime aims, Allah reminds them of His blessings, saying, then which of the favors of your Lord will you deny?
I guess this is clear, right? So we can continue. قال تعالى فإذا انشقت السماء أي يوم القيامة من شدة الأهوال وكثرة البلبال
وترادوا في الأوجال فانخسفت شمسها وقمرها وانتشرت نجومها فكانت من شدة الخوف والانزعاج وردة كالدهان أي كانت كالمهل والرصاص المذاب ونحوه فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان فيومئذ لا يسأل عن ذنبه إنس ولا جن أي سؤال استعلام بما وقع لأنه تعالى عالم الغيب والشهادة والماضي والمستقبل ويريد أن يجازي العباد بما علمه من أحوالهم وقد جعل لأهل الخير والشر يوم القيامة علامات يعرفون بها كما قال تعالى يوم تبيض وجوه وتسود وجوه وقال هنا يعرف المجرمون بسيماهم فيؤخذ بالنواصي والأقدام أي فيؤخذ بنواصي المجرمين وأقدامهم فيلقون في النار ويسحبون فيها وإنما يسألهم تعالى سؤال توبيخ وتقرير بما وقع منهم وهو أعلم به منهم ولكنه تعالى يريد أن تظهر للخلق حجته البالغة وحكمته الجليلة.
When the heaven is rent asunder, that is, on the day of resurrection, because of the severe dread, widespread confusion, and the succession of terrifying events, the sun and moon will be eclipsed and the stars will be scattered. Because of the intensity of fear and distress, the heaven will become rosy red, melting like grease, or molten lead, and the like. Then which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? On that day, no human or jinn will be questioned about his sin. That is, they will not be questioned to find out what happened, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the knower of the unseen and the seen, the past and the future, and He wants to requite His slaves on the basis of what He knows of their deeds. Both good and evil people will be given marks on the day of resurrection, by which they will be known. As Allah says elsewhere, on the day when some faces will become bright and some faces will become dark. The wicked will be known by their marks and will be seized by their forelocks and their feet. That is, the wicked will be seized by their forelocks and feet and be thrown into hell and dragged into it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only question them by way of rebuke and in order to make them confess what they did. He knows better than them, but his aim will be to demonstrate to all creatures his ultimate proof and great wisdom.
قال تعالى هذه جهنم التي يكذب بها المجرمون يطوفون بينها وبين حميم آن فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان أي يقال للمكذبين بالوعد والوعيد حين تسعر الجحيم هذه جهنم التي يكذب بها المجرمون فليهنهم تكذيبهم بها وليذوقوا من عذابها ونكالها وسعيرها وأغلالها ما هو جزاء لتكذيبهم يطوفون بينها أي بين أطباق الجحيم ولهبها وبين حميم آن أي ماء حار جدا قد انتهى حره وزمهرير قد اشتد برده وقره فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان.
That is, it will be said to those who disbelieved in the divine promise and warning, when the blaze of hell intensifies, this is hell which the wicked used to deny. So congratulations to them for their rejection of it, and let them taste its torment, suffering, flames, and fetters, for this is the requital of their denial. They will go to and fro between it, with its various levels and flames, and fiercely scalding water, that is, intensely hot water that has reached the ultimate in terms of heat. Then which of the favors of your Lord will you deny?
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again further describing the Day of Judgment, that the heavens, the skies, as we know them, will be destroyed, will crack and fall apart, and they would become, Allah here mentions it, وَرْدَةً كَالْدِهَانِ. And at Dihan, if you remember, who remembers where we mentioned the root, Dihan, Dahana? We mentioned it in one surah previously. Who recalls? Naam, verse, Surah Al-Qalam, which verse? وَدُّ لَوْ تُدْهِنُ فَيُدْهِنُونَ. If you remember, we mentioned they wish that you play around so that they can play around. You are not so straightforward. So you can give them some wiggle room. Don't stick to the truth. Be soft. You know, be easygoing. And then they would also like, so go along with them, play along with them, and they would play along with you. And we mentioned the word dahana, or the root dahana, dihan, is what does dahana or duhun means in the Arabic language? Duhun? Fat, grease, fat and grease, right? So they wish that you would resort to what? Some sort of deception, mild deception, right? Just don't be so adamant about the truth, right? So compromise the truth a little. So you compromise. So look at the word that Allah uses. وَدُّوا لَوْ تُدْهِنُوا فَيُدْهِنُوا. Here Allah describes the heavens as فَكَانَتْ وَرَدَّةً كَالدِّهَانِ. وَرَدَّةً كَالدِّهَانِ. Subhanallah, lying in the Arabic language, lying, التكذيب, means something is breakable, weak. The root كَذَبَ means something to be weak and breakable, and not solid or firm. الصدق in the Arabic language means what? Firm. It means something, for something to be solid and firm and unbreakable. So that holds moral value, right? Holds moral value. So Allah describes the heaven here as كانت وردةً كالدهان. So you see the sun, you see the skies as just like one solid extension of a creation. But it's going to break up into pieces, and it will as well lose its solidity. It will melt. It will be different colors, different shades of colors. And it will not be as solid as we see it now. So that's why Ad-Dihan is used here. Then Allah says, none, humans and jinn, none of them will be asked about their deeds. Now, obviously, what Allah means here, none of them will be asked to report their own deeds, as if we don't know them. They will be asked in a way, what? To be held accountable for confession. سؤال إقرار. Okay, سؤال إقرار. That Allah will ask them and He knows. It's not like He's going to ask them to inform Him. They're not going to inform Him. But Allah wants to put them face to face. Allah wants them to admit their own evil doing. So that's the meaning of none of them will be asked. Meaning none of them will be asked to give the information, because the information is already with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُعْرَفُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ بِسِيمَاهُمْ. Oh, the knowledge is already with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُعْرَفُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ بِسِيمَاهُمْ فَيُؤْخَذُ بِالنَّوَاصِي وَالْأَقْدَامِ. So on the day of judgment, the reality of the heart will reflect on the faces. Without a doubt. Although in this life, in this worldly life, there is a level of this. Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala, قال, المصلون في الليل أحسن الناس وجوها. Those who pray at night have the most beautiful faces. When he was asked, why is this? قال, خلوا بالرحمن فألبسهم من نوره. Said they spend their time alone with Allah, and Allah bestowed upon them from His light. Okay, so Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, he describes the sign or the signs of the believers. He says, I forgot which verse that mentions the signs on the faces of the believers. He says it's not this dark spot that you will find on the forehead of some people out of sujood. He says it's the light in the face of the believer on the day of judgment. And this is what Allah says, يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهٌ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهٌ. Some faces will be bright and some faces will be darkened. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُسْفِرَةٌ. Shining, illuminating faces on the day of judgment. وجوه يومئذٍ مسفرة ضاحكة مستبشرة. There's a smile and optimism on that face. ووجوه يومئذٍ عليها غبرة. And there are faces that are more like dusty, disheveled, right? Troubled faces. ترهقها قترة. Upon them there is the weight of that day. It shows on their faces. But that defines as well the final, or that marks the final destination of these people. يُعْرَفُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ بِسِيمَاهُمْ. So the criminals, those who transgress the limits of Allah, they will be recognized. by the mark on their face, by the state of their face. فَيُؤْخَذُ بِالنَّوَاصِي وَالْأَقْدَامِ النَّاصِيَ النَّوَاصِي is this, right? The forehead. So they will be grabbed from their foreheads and from their feet. And the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, وَهَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسَ فِي النَّارِ عَلَى وُجُوهِهِمْ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ What throws people, what drags people into the hellfire other than the outcomes of their speech, of their words, their evil words, or the outcomes of their tongue? And that shows that that in the manner in which the disbelievers will be thrown in the hellfire is very humiliating. They will not even be allowed to walk normally. They will walk on their faces. They will be dragged on their faces. Out of humiliation. هذه جهنم التي يكذب بها المجرمون يطوفون بينها وبين حميم آن. This is Jahannam that the people of the hellfire used to deny, the kuffar. In this life, they say, where is Allah? There's no Allah, right? Where's the creator? The whole world came about by chance. Or they would say, Allah has a son. Or Allah did this and Allah did that. Anything that is not befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who did not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what they denied and the punishment of Allah, they would say, oh, we are the saved people, we will be in paradise, and we are the best of the creation and all of this. These people will be in the hellfire. The hellfire that they disbelieved in. They disbelieved in it being their abode. They're going to see it now. It's going to be the most evident fact in their life. This at this moment and forever. هذه جهنم التي يكذب بها المجرمون يطوفون بينها وبين حميم آن. They take turns in Jahannam. What is it? They're burning in the hellfire. Then they go to the sauna of the hellfire. Hellfire, then the sauna of the hellfire. So what do they get? People think hellfire is only burning, right? It's only the fire that burns people, scorches them. But the hellfire has two things, has two punishments. There is the heat and there is the extreme cold, zamharir. Zamharir. So whenever you see zamharir, which happens in the Quran, and you see it in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that's what the people of the hellfire will get. Mostly it's going to be, because that's what Allah mentioned the most, it's going to be the heat and the fire and the boiling water that they will drink, and all of the disgusting things that they would be drinking. And when they need a break, they are sent to the extreme cold that's not better in any way than the heat that they experience. The pain is just going to be just as much or more. So they don't get a break whatsoever. يطوفون بينها وبين حميم آن. حميم آن, again, could be the boiling water, or could also be referring to the zamharir, which is the cold that they are going to experience in the hellfire. So that's the description, very brief description of the hellfire. Allah doesn't go into details. Why doesn't Allah go into details? You should tell me now, because you know, already know. Allah is going to describe Jannah, two levels of Jannah, and in fair detail. But Allah doesn't describe much of the punishment of the people of the hellfire. He makes it very brief, to the point, and then Allah moves on to the Jannah, to Jannah, to the description of Jannah. Why?
Because the surah that it's connected to was smart people, mostly.
Which is surah?
Al-Waqi'ah.
Okay, Al-Waqi'ah, which comes later. Okay, Allah's going to talk about in detail. Okay, that's one reason, but the main reason.
Surah
Al-Rahman. This is Surah Al-Rahman, so Allah is going to focus on what? On the mercy. Allah is going to focus on the mercy. Since the whole context is mercy, so Al-Rahman, then it's befitting to talk more about the mercy, which is the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to talk about the Rahmah of Allah, which is Jannah, right? And talk less about the hellfire. Somebody might say, okay, but it's Surah Al-Rahman, why mention the hellfire? Do you know that putting the criminals to punishment, to due punishment, is mercy? Is mercy. Putting things where they belong is mercy. When you rid the good in this world from the evil, you purify it from the evil, that's mercy. That's rahmah. That's rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if Allah were not to punish those who deserve punishment, that would be a slight to His mercy. That would be a violation of His mercy. It's incompatible with His mercy. So the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the wrongdoers get their punishment, get what they truly deserve. To put the evil where it belongs, that's part of the mercy of Allah. It's a manifestation of Allah's mercy. And to put the good where it belongs is a manifestation of Allah's mercy. So still the mention of the hellfire and the punishment is actually, it's an extension of mercy. It's a sign of mercy. But Allah doesn't go into more detail because that is the context of Ar-Rahmah. Context of Ar-Rahmah. Here Allah starts talking about Jannah. قال تعالى وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّةً فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبًا إلى آخر السورة أي وللذي خاف ربه وقيامه عليه فترك ما نهى عنه فترك ما نهي عنه وفعل ما أمر به له جنتان من ذهب آنيتهما وحليتهما وبنيانهما وما فيهما إحدى الجنتين جزاء على ترك المنهيات والأخرى على فعل الطاعات ومن أوصاف تلك الجنتين أنهما ذواتا أفنان أي فيهما من ألوان النعيم المتنوعة نعيم الظاهر والباطن ما لا نعيم الظاهر والباطن ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر أن فيهما الأشجار الكثيرة الزاهرة ذوات الغصون الناعمة التي فيها الثمار اليانعة الكثيرة اللذيذة أو ذوات أنواع وأصناف من جميع أصناف النعيم وأنواعه جمع فن أي صنف وفي تلك الجنتين عينان تجريان يفجرونها على ما يريدون ويشتهون فيهما من كل فاكهة من جميع أصناف الفواكه زوجان أي صنفان كل صنف له لذة ولون ليس للنوع الآخر متكئين على فرش بطائنها من استبرق أي هذه صفة فرش أهل الجنة وجلوسهم عليها وأنهم متكئون عليها أي جلوس تمكن واستقرار وراحة كجلوس من الملوك على الأسرة وتلك الفرش لا يعلم وصفها وحسنها إلا الله عز وجل حتى إن بطائنها التي تلي الأرض منها من استبرق وهو أحسن الحرير وأفخره فكيف بظواهرها التي تلي بشرتهم وجن الجنتين دان الجنى هو الثمر المستوي أي وثمر هاتين الجنتين قريب التناول يناله القائم والقاعد والمضجع.
Having mentioned what will happen to the wicked, Allah now mentions the reward of the righteous who feared Him. That is, for the one who feared his Lord and the standing before Him, so he refrained from what Allah forbade and did what He enjoined. There will be two gardens of which the vessels, jewelry, buildings, and all that they contain will be made of gold. One of the two gardens will be a reward for refraining from forbidden things, and the other will be a reward for doing acts of obedience. One of the characteristics of these two gardens is that they will be shaded by spreading branches and will contain various types of joy and blessings, both visible and hidden, such as no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it ever crossed the mind of man. In them there will be many beautiful trees with fine branches on which there will be an abundance of delicious, ripe fruit, or they will contain all types and kinds of pleasures and delights. In those two gardens there will be two flowing springs that the people will be able to cause to flow however they wish. In them are two kinds of every fruit, of all kinds of fruit, two kinds, each with its own taste and color that the other does not have. They will recline on carpets lined with brocade. This is a description of the carpets of the people of paradise and how they will sit on them. They will recline on them, meaning that they will sit in a comfortable and relaxed manner, like kings on their thrones. No one knows the description and beauty of those carpets except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even their linings that touch the ground directly will be made of brocade, which is the most beautiful and finest kind of silk. So how about the tops of those carpets that will be in contact with the people's skin, with the fruits of the two gardens within easy reach? The word translated here as fruits refers to fruit that is ripe. In other words, the fruits of those two gardens will be at hand, easily picked by one who is standing, sitting, or lying down.
So Allah talks about two levels in Jannah. Just like Surah Al-Waqi'ah, right, which comes after Surah Al-Rahman. And we discussed Surah Al-Waqi'ah. The two levels remind us, how did Allah refer to them in Surah Al-Waqi'ah? The highest level and the normal level in Jannah. The highest level is
السابقون
المقربون السابقون السابقون أولئك المقربون. The second one, which is the average,
أصحاب اليمين.
So these are the two levels in Jannah. السابقون المقربون at the highest level of Jannah, and أصحاب اليمين, the majority of the people of Jannah. The majority of the people of Jannah. And each one of those is levels. Each one. And sabiqun are levels, and al-ashabu al-yameen are also levels. Allah says, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّةً. Allah here is talking about al-sabiqun, the highest level. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّةً. So the highest level, everyone is going to have two gardens. So Ibn Sa'di here mentions an explanation of why two gardens. One garden is for doing, fulfilling the obligations and the commands, and the second one is for abstaining from the prohibitions, al-halal wal-haram, or al-wajibat wal-muharramat, right? What's your responsibility towards Allah in terms of doing what He commands you and abstaining from what He prohibits. This, there is a reward for this and a reward for this. Jannatan. So that's one reason. That's one explanation. Other Mufassirin added other explanations. Why to Jannah? What does that mean? But that's a fair case by Imam al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. مَقَام. This is a very profound word in the Arabic language. Very versatile. مَقَام. And I want to just give a little bit of a glimpse because it helps us understand this verse. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. Some explain it as the one who fears the high status of their Lord. Because maqam does mean status. It does mean status. Maqam is maf'ul, which means basically a standing, where someone stands, which is their level. But the root, who can give us the exact correct root of maqam in the Arabic language, linguistic root? I'll show you that this root actually shows up more often than you think. No, close but not qam. No. No. No, we're talking about the root. What's the root? Take us back to the root. For example, katib, kataba is the root. Let me just give an opportunity for the sisters. Sisters, any one of the sisters wants to have something? Okay. No. It's three letters. No. You don't change the word. No, okay. No, the closest one who says qama, but in the Arabic language, when you go back to the root, sometimes the alif, the waw, the ya change. The original root is qawama. Qaf, waw, mim. Qawama. Qawama. Where does this word appear? I tell you where it appears. It appears in as-sirat al-mustaqim. Mustaqim. Comes from the same root. Would you have ever thought about this? Al-mustaqim comes from the root qa-wa-ma. And it has connection to the meaning. It's not just a random thing, it has a connection. The reason we're bringing these roots is just to show you an aspect of the Arabic language where it's very systematic. Very, very systematic in terms of form and meaning as well. What else? Where do we use it? قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةُ قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةُ Right? قَامَتْ الصَّلَاةُ إِقَامَةُ الصَّلَاةُ Right? Same thing, same root. We're talking about the same thing. So we have مَقَام started with مَقَام. We went to مُسْتَقِيم. We have also, we said what? No, what's the third word? قامت الصلاة إقامة الصلاة The name of Allah Al-Qayyum Name of Allah Al-Qayyum What is the meaning of قامة, the verb? The verb is not the root The root is قوامة The verb فعل is قامة قامة Okay, what's the meaning of قامة?
Stand up
To stand up, to stand on your feet قامة قامة Okay, it comes from the root Allah says in Surah Al-Bayyinah وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ Right? Same root جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الْكَعْبَةَ الْبَيْتَ الْحَرَامَ قِيَامًا لِلنَّاسِ البيت الحرام مسجد الحرام المكة قياماً للناس وَلَا تُؤْتُوا سُفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمُ الَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا Qiyamah. Don't give the foolish ones who are unable to handle wealth well. Don't give them the money, your money, or the money that's in your responsibility that Allah made Qiyamah. What is the connection between all of these? Qiyamah. Qiyamah means for something to stand solid and be in good shape. So it functions properly. So when we are talking about Allah here, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّةً For the one who fears, how did they translate it, Riyan? How did they translate the verse?
Just the translation?
Yes, the translation of the verse.
For him who fears standing before his Lord, there will be two gardens.
Okay, the one who fears standing, which is a correct meaning. Meaning standing on the Day of Judgment, you're going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment and fear that day, which is a correct meaning. But Imam al-Sa'di doesn't translate it this way. وَلِلَّذِي خَافَ رَبَّهُ وَقِيَامَهُ عَلَيْهِ وَقِيَامَهُ عَلَيْهِ How did they translate this first one, first sentence?
For the one who feared his Lord and the standing before him, so he refrained from what Allah forbade.
So that's a wrong translation of what he said. That's an inaccurate translation. Because قِيَامَهُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ Standing before his Lord. قِيَامَهُ عَلَيْهِ Means Allah is al-qayyum over you. Allah is al-qayyum over you. Allah is the one who takes care of you, makes you stand on your feet, makes your affairs straight. That's al-qayyum. So the one who fears the responsibility that comes about from being taken care of and nurtured by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does that mean? What's the practical lesson of this? The practical lesson is that in this life, you know, you have everything you need. You have a system, a digestive system where you can feed, right? You have blood that runs through your veins. You have sensory systems. All of these things are from Al-Qayyum. He's the one who equipped you with all of this so you can stand and you can function properly. These people are going to end up, inshallah, being as-sabiqun, may Allah make us all from them, are people who have this sense of indebtedness to Allah. They don't take what they have in life for granted. They don't feel entitled. They know the vision that they have is from Allah, is a gift. It's not something that they have a right to. They're not entitled to. They know that everything in their life, the clothes on their body that cover their body, they know that they didn't earn that, that it's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They know the fact that they breathe is something that is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not something that they earned, it's not something that they deserve, it's not something that they are entitled to. So they have this intuitive sense of responsibility and burden, and that they need to fulfill that responsibility because of what Allah has given them. This is the وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّةً خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ عَلَيْهِ. He is scared because the blessings of Allah are countless and I can't pay them back. And it's because of these blessings I am able to stand and function and be healthy and be who I am. How am I going to pay that back? That fear of not being able to pay Allah back, not being to save oneself, and because I can't pay, I can't give Allah His rights, I can't be thankful for His all these blessings. The ones who fear that, which is a very, very subtle fear, very subtle fear, these are the ones, that's a sign of the people of in the highest ranks in Jannah. These people, it's not a matter of transaction, oh, I prayed for Allah, so Allah should put me in Jannah. Just like the man from Bani Israel that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, that he worshipped Allah on an island. And Allah made a tree grow where he could, he worships day and night. He has nothing, no other engagement in life. He works, he worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Apart from sleep, all he does is worship Allah. And Allah made a tree grow where he just goes one time of the day, he takes, you know, fruits and he eats, that was his food, for 60 years. Then the Prophet ﷺ says he's brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah says, Ya Abdi, tadkhulu al-jannata bi rahmati and bi amalik. O my servant, you enter Jannah with my mercy or with your deeds. He said, oh Allah, with my deeds. 60 years doing nothing but worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَيَأْمُرُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ مَلَائِكَتَهُ فَتَأْتِي بِأَعْمَالِهِ صَحَيْفَ أَعْمَالِهِ وَتَأْتِي بِنِعْمَةِ الْبَصَرِ. And they come on the other side, now the scale, the mizan. Allah's going to put all of His good deeds on one side and His only eyesight on the other side of the scale. قَالَ فَتَطِيشُ السِّجِلَّاتِ. So the all of the deeds, or the sight, the ability to see, is going to be heavier than all of His good deeds. فَيَقُولُ يَا رَبِّي بَلْ بِرَحْمَتِكَ. So the man says, oh Allah, I'll enter Jannah by your mercy. Now he sees what that is. And from Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiyallahu anhu, also this is mawquf, the one that's attributed to the Prophet is da'if, is weak, but the one that is attributed directly to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he says, لو أن الله عذب أهل سماواته وأهل أرضه لعذبهم وهو ظالم وهو غير ظالم لهم. If Allah were to punish all of His creation in the heavens and the earth, He would not be doing injustice, because they owe Him a lot. They owe Him. They can never pay Him back. So this is وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّةً. For the one who fears Allah's taking care of him, Allah's bounty and blessings on him, and Allah's managing of his affairs. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّةً. Then Allah describes it, describes these two, that the branches extend. دَوَاتَ أَفْنَانَ. Al-afnan are the branches of the trees. They extend. So they create not only benefit and shade, but also beauty, some aesthetic aspects of Jannah as well. فيهما عينان تجريان. And there are gushing springs, you know, that flow into rivers. Two of them. And this is where the people of Jannah drink. And the description of drink is in other surahs as well, that it is so pure and it's so refreshing and it's so sweet. And it's mixed with different scents. And the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that the يُسْقَوْنَ مِنْ رَحِيقٍ مَخْتُومٍ. That's the مُسَابِقُون. يُسْقَوْنَ مِنْ رَحِيقٍ مَخْتُومٍ. They will drink from pure رَحِيق, which is like, help me out in English. رَحِيق, what's a رَحِيق? It's not the honey, it's
nectar.
The nectar, yes, the nectar. Pure nectar, that's what they drink. Whereas Ashab al-Yameen, the lower level, their water will be mixed with the essence of this nectar. So it's mixed. Whereas the Sabiqun will drink from the pure nectar. The pure nectar. فيهما من كل فاكهة زوجان. So from every fruit in Jannah, there are two types, or two forms, two versions, let's say. Two versions of the fruit. Each one, like, they're different from each other. They are different from each other, although they are the same fruit. This tastes something, and this tastes something else. And we know the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَعْدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِيَ الصَّادِقِينَ مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. That I have prepared for my truthful servants, my believing servants, what no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, and no mind has ever thought about. So whatever comes to mind, Jannah is way beyond this. Jannah is way beyond this. And in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah says, وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهَا. Some of the Sahaba explained, وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهَا. They were brought this in resemblance, that some of the fruits in Jannah look like the fruits in dunya, but the taste is something else. مُتَّكِئِينَ عَلَى فُرُوشٍ بَطَائِنُهَا مِنْ إِسْتَبْرَقٍ. They will be reclining, lying on their sides, relaxing basically on the couches that are so, like, the description of them is that they are so, like, they're made of the best silk of Jannah, the best material. So it's so comfortable. There is no tiredness for them in Jannah. There's no fatigue, there's no pain, there's no discomfort. Nothing, like, the concept of negative does not exist in Jannah. Does not exist in Jannah. The concept of boredom does not exist in Jannah. The concept of monotonous experience doesn't exist in Jannah. In Jannah, it's just like elation after elation, non-stop. Like, it's just beauty after beauty, that, and each moment of beauty is not like the one that comes before it. That's how it is in Jannah. Boredom, tiredness, fatigue, whatever, doesn't exist. So you're talking about dopamine, it's like always 10x, running to infinity. That's how Jannah is. Is there any moment where I need a change? There's no need for change. There's no need for change. It's excitement all the time. Beauty and joy all the time. And it's what? It's accelerating. It doesn't slow down. It just goes more and more and more and more as you live more forever. That's the Jannah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offers humans. وَجَنَا الْجَنَّتَيْنِ دَانَ. And the produce of Jannah, which are the fruits, and just that's just one aspect. It's hanging. You don't need to walk to it. You don't need to make your way to it. It's right where your hand is. You just pick it and eat it. And in some of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, the people of Jannah, once they just desire something, here you don't say this. In the UK they say, if you fancy something, like you wish for something, you fancy something, it's a very expressive word, so you fancy something and it just manifests in front of you. The moment you wish for it, it's there. Mental image turns into a reality. So وَجَنَا الْجَنَّتَيْنِ دَانْ. So it's Dan is close, okay? From a dunu, which is very close. Let's continue. قال تعالى فِيهِنَّ قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِ لَمْ يَطْمِثْ فِيهِنَّ قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِ أي قد قصرن طرفهن على أزواجهن من حسنهن وجمالهن وكمال محبتهن لهم وقصرن أيضا طرف أزواجهن عليهن من حسنهن وجمالهن ولذة وصالهن. I don't think that can be translated. MashaAllah. I don't think this can be translated. It's just beautiful. The language, rahmatullah ala Sheikh Sa'di, like sometimes his words is so poetic, unbelievable. لم يطمثهن إنس قبلهم ولا جان أي لم ينلهن قبلهن أحد من الإنس والجن بل هن أبكار عرب متحببات إلى أزواجهن بحسن التبعد والتغنج والملاحة والدلال ولهذا قال كأنهن الياقوت والمرجان
وذلك لصفائهن وجمال منظرهن وبهائهن. هل جزاء الإحسان إلا الإحسان؟ هل جزاء من أحسن في عبادة الخالق ونفع عبيده إلا أن يحسن إليه بالثواب الجزيل والفوز الكبير والنعيم المقيم والعيش السليم؟ فهاتان الجنتان العاليتان للمقربين، ومن دونهما جنتان من فضة بنيانهما وآنيتهما وحليتهما وما فيهما لأصحاب اليمين، وتلك الجنتان مدهمتان أي سوداوان من شدة الخضرة التي هي أثر الري.
In those gardens will be chaste women who restrain their glances, that is, they will look only at their husbands because of their handsomeness and beauty and because of their perfect love for them, and their husbands will look only at them because of their beauty and the joy of being with them. Untouched before by any man or jinn, that is, no one, human or jinn, will have touched them before them. Rather, they will be virgins, loving and attentive towards their husbands, and very beautiful. Hence Allah says, as though they were rubies and pearls, because of their purity, beauty, and glamorous appearance. That is the reward of the one who does well in worshipping the Creator and showing kindness to his slaves anything other than that he will be treated well, regarded greatly, and granted the ultimate triumph, eternal blessing, and a life of ease. These two sublime gardens are for those who are close to Allah. And besides these two, there will be two other gardens, of which the structures, vessels, jewelry, and all that they contain will be made of silver. They will be for those on the right. Those two gardens will be of deepest green, because they will be well irrigated.
Okay, so Allah describes again here the further the gardens of the Muqarrabin, and Allah talks here about their spouses, their wives. Allah talks about their wives, and the description again is something else. And look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them with. It's the fact that they are chaste, that they have this decent, natural decency about them. The shyness, the natural shyness. قاصرات الطرف. قاصرات الطرف meaning they don't extend their gaze, or they're not staring around. Out of shyness and bashfulness, they mind their own business. They don't look at what's not halal for them. And why? Because the people of Jannah, who's going to enter these highest level of Jannah? The purest of people. And the purest of people, their fitrah is the most intact. And if the man's fitrah is intact, they would only appreciate a woman that has the haya. The most attractive trait that a man finds, that a man whose fitrah has not been corrupted finds in a woman, is her shyness, her chastity. That captures femininity in the fitrah, in the standards of fitrah. So the fragile, this or feminine fragility, softness, the shyness, where the only thing that occupies her mind, the only person that occupies her mind is her legal husband, and she doesn't have the audacity to look around and stare at other men and so on and so forth. Which is today is most likely, if you have a woman like this, they're going to classify her as with social. They're going to diagnose her with social anxiety. That's to show you the standards, how the standards are different. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with this. قاصرات الطرف لم يطمثهن إنس قبلهن. They've never been touched by a human origin. And this is part of the real, genuine fitrah of a man. That's the real, genuine fitrah of a man. Obviously, if they were given the choice, they would love for their woman, not to be married before or touched before whatsoever. Does this mean, someone who's been married, she's not worthy? No, we're not talking about this. Now, these are the ideals When you come to the real world, you have to have a clear idea of, or a clear hierarchy or list of priorities. Then you'll be realistic. The Prophet ﷺ married Khadija radiallahu anha, although she was married before, she had children before. Why? Because she scored at the most important traits. She scored the highest. And obviously there's, you can turn it into a mathematical equation, you know, where you punch in the values and work out an outcome, final outcome. But again, it's something that a man knows by fitrah. This calculation, we have this intelligence naturally. When our fitrah is still intact, we have this. So a man knows, okay, there's a woman who's been married, she's been married before, right? But the core traits of a good woman are in her. So she scores higher than someone who's not been seen even, has not been seen by any other human being. Because there are core values and then there are more peripheral values. So each one, they don't weigh the same in that choice. By the way, the Arabs had something called al-mukhabba'ah. The Arabs at the time had something called al-mukhabba'ah. The Prophet ﷺ, when talking about Salat al-Eid, أخرجوا الحيض والمخبأة أو فلتخرج الحيض والمخبأة. مخبأة the hidden. These are type of ladies that they would not leave the house. Sun never seen them. Now don't ask me if it's healthy or I'm just saying, I'm talking about a phenomenon that was there, okay? And this is why the hadith of al-ayn, you know, the evil eye, Sahl ibn Hanif, when the other companion saw him, what did he say? He said, مَا رَأَيْتُكَ الْيَوْمَ وَلَا جِلْدُكَ جِلْدَ مُخَبَّأَ. Like, I'm seeing you today and your skin is like the skin of a hidden woman. Her skin is so soft and has no tan, it's never seen the sun. Okay, so the men with fitrah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the purest form of fitrah, that's what Allah mentions about them. قاصرات الطرف, because that's what matters. And it's not insecurity. And that's the problem with today's language, messing around with concepts. They would tell you, your man is insecure when you are around other men. So he's insecure. What? Do you see how they mess up the standards and the concepts? And they make you feel threatened. This is gaslighting, and this is covert narcissism. When they apply this, that's deception. Or like if your husband feels threatened when you are in the presence of your colleagues and other males, then there's something wrong with him and his masculinity. That's why we messed up today. That's why there's no families, families are not having children, that's why the divorce rate is higher than the marriage rate and so on and so forth. That's why people are messed up. This is one of the reasons why there's depression and all of this stuff. Because the standards have been, you know, violated. No, a man, a real man, whose fitrah is intact, you know, he's protective of his woman. And a woman whose fitrah is intact, she loves that. And she doesn't love to be there available to everyone, to look at her or touch her or talk to her. She doesn't love that. Now we're talking about fitrah. Now all of us are exposed, to this radiation, immoral radiation, from day one in this life. So we're contaminated to a certain extent. But you have some, their fitrah is more intact than others, etc., etc. Just keep this in mind. And when the fitrah is compromised in certain areas, you need to depend more on instructions. So you can't say, I don't feel good about this. Yeah, because Your fitrah has been corrupted in this area, you can't depend, it's not sending you the right signals. It's like a gland in your body that has been compromised. It doesn't produce anything anymore, halas. You can't depend on it. You have to depend on what? You can't depend on how you feel. You have to depend on tests, blood tests, to tell you what the level of this hormone, that hormone, right? Because you lost the ability to tell. You lost the device. Same thing here, when that part of the fitrah is corrupted, it's not like, I don't see anything wrong. Like if a lady says, I don't see anything wrong, I enjoy being with men, and I'm chaste, and I'm feeling good, and there's nothing immoral about all of this. Again, so that shows the fitrah has been corrupted, and again, you're using standards that are not Islamic. And when we say non-Islamic, that means they are far away from the human fitrah, true human nature, the I would say the protected or intact human nature. And something related to this as well, because sometimes some would ask, why does Allah in the Quran describe the women in Jannah, but doesn't describe the men in Jannah? Why does Allah describe the women for the men who are going to be in Jannah, right? But doesn't describe the men that women will get in Jannah? If someone has this question in their mind, that again shows that part of their fitrah is compromised. It's compromised. Because the nature of woman, they don't like this explicit description of these things. A woman is shy. A woman with shy fitrah. And that's the woman, when they enter Jannah, they will be purified. So their fitrah will be restored. A woman don't like that description. They don't like you to be straightforward when it comes to intimate matters. They don't like it. Unless, again, their fitrah has been corrupted. They don't like to be explicit, they like to be subtle. They like to be subtle, and they say, al-aqil takfihi ishara. You know, the person with a good mind can understand subtle signals. It's enough for them, sufficient for them. You don't have to be straight, like in the face. There are things, when you state them, you ruin them. You ruin them. For example, generosity. Generosity. Oh, you know, respect. Respect is obvious, it's part of fitrah. Everyone deserves a basic level of respect, decent kind of treatment, right? If someone is not treating you well, and it happens in abusive relationships, especially with extended families, or it happens with bullies as well. When you start to fight back, someone treats you with disrespect and you fight back. They say, I don't understand what you're talking about. How do you want me to treat you? I'm treating you normal. They're gaslighting you, right? I'm treating you normal. They're making you doubt the reality that you see, that they are not treating you well, right? But they confuse you. They say, I'm treating you normal. How do you want me to treat you? Like what? What do you want me to say? Respect cannot be stipulated like this. It cannot be stipulated. You can't put rules. You can't put instructions. This is what respect means. Because respect is something deep within. And it shows, the manifestations show. Right? When you start speaking about respect in details and rules and instructions, you lose it. It's gone. You're like, you spoiled it. It's not there anymore. It loses its value and its taste. The same thing with that kind of chastity. That a woman whose fitrah is intact doesn't love that you start describing some physical aspects of a man. This is humiliating to them, it's disrespectful to them. So when someone says, why, as Allah describes women and their beauty, why doesn't Allah describe the men that women will get in Jannah and beautify these men to them? Well, if you don't work on yourself, you might not be there. You have to start fixing that stuff, because that's a very bad sign that you are thinking this way. Something needs to be addressed. Something needs to be addressed. Okay, then Allah says, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. That's the justice of Allah. Allah says and al-ihsan in the Arabic language means to put something in the best configuration. The best, whether the best shape, or the best looks, or the best design, or the best structure, or do the best. It's always about that. This is where the word ihsan comes from. Hasana, husn. Husn is beauty. The utmost form of beauty is al-husn, right? Especially when it's facial. So hal jaza'u al-ihsani al-ihsan. Those people did the best, the utmost beauty in their actions, hard actions and external actions. That's what they did. Al-ihsan. Allah is going to respond to them with ihsan. Ihsan from Allah. So Allah is going to give them the best on the day of judgment. So Allah sets this as a rule. Hal jaza'u al-ihsani illa al-ihsan. That's how Allah treats Allah. Inna Allah la yadhlimu mithqala dharra. Allah does not do injustice, even if it's an atom's weight of that injustice. Okay, let's stop here. We can take a couple of questions before we leave, inshallah, and then we'll continue next week. Inshallah, next week we'll we will complete Surah Ar-Rahman. Questions? Yes. You need to speak up because I can't hear you.
If a person's fitna is corrupted, how can they improve it?
Okay, good question. If a person's fitna is corrupted, how do they improve it? Everything in Islam does this. So Iman, taqwa, fitra, all of that, we're talking about the same thing. So when you first do the obligations, when the person engages in the obligations, and after the obligations start to do more of voluntary acts of worship, when the person focuses as well on their hearts, don't neglect. People think about actions, always think about outward. But most of what we think is outward, the greatest body of that act of worship is actually in the heart, like prayer. People think prayer is a physical act of worship, but maybe 5 or 10% is what's visible. Most of the prayer takes place in your heart. You know, there's an engagement, deep engagement in the heart, which is called khushu'. And khushu', people think khushu' is a luxury. Like, if I get it, that's fine. If I don't get it, I'm still okay. No, you're talking about khushu' is how is your heart connected to Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ said, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنْ صَلَاتِكَ إِلَّا مَا عَقِلْتِ. He's talking about this experience, inner experience of khushu'. You will get from your salah, the reward that you get from your salah is what you experience within. What you are conscious with, and when you are conscious with it, you experience it. You're like your heart is present. So, yeah, so when a person fulfills those obligations in that way, in this ahsan, in this, the best way, and they read the Quran and they work on themselves and they always make dua. People always say, how do I do this? How do I do this? How do I get more iman? How do I achieve more taqwa? Turn to Allah. Turn to Allah. There's nothing better than turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can't help you. I personally can share some information. It might be helpful, might not be helpful. Anyone else is the same. No one can raise your iman. Turn to Allah. Turn to Allah. Be sincere. How many times? You should turn to Allah non-stop, as often as you can, and as long as you can. And even when you get what you want, you should never stop asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that's what worship really means. That you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't think any imam or any scholar or anyone can really give you iman. They can't. If Allah uses what they say or what they do to help you with iman, that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep this in mind. Okay? There's no invention, like there's no way to hack iman or ihsan. It's there. The Prophet ﷺ told us what we need to focus on, right? The pillars of Islam, the Quran, increase in the sunnah. But again, most people fall in the trap of doing things superficially, on the surface, going through the motions. That doesn't cut it. That's why you will find someone praying so much, but the heart is poisoned. Why? Because they're just counting rak'ahs, they're counting days of fasting, they're counting pages of the Quran. It's all about, yeah, I'm the best, I'm this, I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, and I'm so special, and they're not worshipping Allah. So that would be it, yeah. There's no secrets, alhamdulillah, in our religion. It's very straightforward. Questions? Sisters? Okay, brothers? I think, خلاص, alhamdulillah. ختمنا العلم. Right? جزاكم الله خيرا. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.